Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now back to U.S. affairs now and the prospect of the second Trump term in the White House. The late night talk show host Jimmy Kimmel became quite emotional when summing up the outcome of the election.
Let's be honest, it was a terrible night last night. It was a terrible night for women, for children, for the hundreds of thousands of hardworking immigrants who make this country go. For healthcare, for our climate, for science, for journalism, for justice, for free speech. It was a terrible night for poor people, for the middle class, for seniors who rely on Social Security, for our allies in Ukraine, for NATO, for the truth, and democracy and decency. And it was a terrible night for everyone who voted against him. And guess what? It was a bad night for everyone who voted for him, too. You just don't realize it yet. And most of all, it was an absolute disaster of a night for Melania. But it was a really good night for Putin and for polio and for lovable billionaires like Elon Musk and the bros up in Silicon Valley and all the wriggling brainworms who sold what was left of their souls to bow down to Donald Trump. But you know what? I'm going to say something that Trump would never say unless it favored him. The people voted, and this is the choice we made.
The people voted, and this is the choice we made. What will that choice mean? Well, I'm joined on the line now by Gina Abercrombie-Winstanley, a U.S. diplomat who served as ambassador to Malta and diversity and inclusion officer at the U.S. Department of State. Gina, good morning and welcome.
Good morning to you, sir.
So that summary of what lies ahead in the United States from Jimmy Kimmel, I mean, was he over the top, or do you think that reality will prevail?
Well, I believe some of that reality will prevail. A lot of it is how you look at the world and what you're afraid of and what you hope for. Jimmy Kimmel, and I hadn't heard it before, so thank you. Jimmy Kimmel spoke about, or from the perspective of someone who had a brighter, lighter vision of America, who looked at American stated ideals and values, because we have often not lived up to them, which is why we talk about that more perfect union and striving for it. And many believe that Mr. Trump is not striving for that. I think he would say he's not striving for that. He's looking for other things for some Americans.
I mean, if you look at it broadly, you would say that Donald Trump wants to change America's place in the world. He wants America to be, you know, great again, as he put it, but only great in terms of its domestic economy and looking inward and having no real place in the world as the Chinese navigate the world and the Russians navigate the world and the EU does its best to form a stronger place in the world. He just wants America to be the island America.
And we've been here before. Many things are cyclical, and we have had Republicans and some Democrats as well talk about the need to focus on domestic issues and let the world get on with itself. And that's always an attractive thing to hear as a citizen, I imagine, of any country, because we do have domestic issues. We are divided over them, but having the government give attention, give funding for the issues that many Americans face. Housing in particular is a huge national issue. Food prices, employment, etc., would be very attractive. So Mr. Trump clearly found his rhetoric resonated with the majority of Americans. Mr. Kimmel is right. Democracy was served.
Now, the question of immigration seemed to have been one of his winning hands in this electoral game. And yet, America is a country of immigration. And OK, we've tightened up the rules, or they've tightened up the rules over the decades. But there was a time when, you know, everybody was welcome.
Well, certainly on paper, everybody was welcome. But we've had policies from the beginning, and certainly 1800s, that were very racist with regard to immigrants from Asia, where everybody else from Europe, you could become a citizen. If you came from Asia, you could not. So we've had bad policies and unfairly imposed policies for a very long while. Mr. Trump does have a nuance on immigration, and he always reminds, as he says horrific things about immigrants, on the one hand, he always says that we want people to come legally. We want people who love our country. I don't know why he doesn't think the other ones might as well. Everybody's coming. But he does make that distinction. And although he's made statements that are completely over the top and impossible about deporting people, millions of people, everyone with any knowledge agrees that that is an impossibility. And there are Republican spokespersons. There was a congresswoman from California who talked about starting with people who have criminal records, which is much of what President Obama did and President Biden was increasingly trying to do. But logically, he can't do what he said. And I suspect that's going to go the way of the great big beautiful wall that Mexico was going to pay for. He never got one red cent from Mexico. But he will make some gestures that will satisfy his supporters that he's doing something. And certainly tightening the border is something every American believes should happen. Unfettered, uncontrolled immigration does have a negative impact on the country. And we see countries around the world trying to control their borders, one of those basic responsibilities of a government.
Now, the concerns about what Trump has said and promised to do, the critics of Trump would say, listen, he will be unfettered now. He cannot look for re-election unless somehow he manages to change the rules. And the rules were different in times past, but it's unlikely that he will achieve that. So this is his last 4 years in public office. And therefore, he can do what he likes, irrespective of what even his own party, the Republican Party, might wish.
Well, we'll see. There is, I think, a legitimate fear of that, especially as he now has a vice president who has made clear that he is likely to put the president above the Constitution. He was asked multiple times during the course of the campaign and was never clearly saying the Constitution is what I stand for, even though that's a requirement of both of those jobs. It also is a concern about who will be willing to serve in his administration. When you have, I believe it was upwards of 40 senior officials from his first administration who said he was unfit to serve and would not serve with him again, then it begs the question of who will and what will they allow, even if their oath to the Constitution, which political appointees take, suggests that they would have to say no to the president. It's not clear that there's going to be anyone in his administration that will do that. And that is a cause of concern.
Presumably, though, he will select his cabinet members from among his acolytes. I mean, we're hearing talk of Elon Musk getting a role in the whole proceedings and RFK Jr. getting a role in the proceedings. So there will be lots of people who will take the offices offered to them on the basis of what it can do for them, what advantage it may deliver. And is the Senate going to turn them down?
Well, the president-elect has always made very clear that loyalty is the most important thing to him, not the ability to do the job, to stay above scandal or any other attribute. And we saw that with members, senior members of his first administration. Many of them fell afoul of U.S. law, were prosecuted, were removed from law, their positions, even some jailed, as we know with Steve Bannon and one of his economic advisors. So Yeah, who's going to come is a really big question that the American people need to watch closely. We will need to see whether there is anyone in the Senate who would say you cannot put that person in a position of trust and responsibility. Already there have been statements from Republican senators that they will give the president leeway to choose his senior advisors. That is a traditional thing. It is rare unless there is either a very overt political cause or some event in an appointee's life that makes them legally unfit to serve. Otherwise, the Senate tries to give the president what he, and I'm sorry to have to still say he, asks for. So I would expect Elon Musk and Robert Kennedy to indeed end up with positions of authority. And then we have to watch. It might be the courts that put the final restraint on the administration or on the president, because the rule of law still has a place in the court system. He can continue to change that with his appointees, but we've seen over the last 5 years that even Trump appointees do not always rule in Mr. Trump's favor. So that is where I think most Americans may end up putting their trust.
Now, the question of stacking the Supreme Court, it's already stacked in Trump's favor. There was talk that the Biden administration might attempt to increase the numbers in the Supreme Court and also put some age restriction on their service rather than serving right up until almost the moment of death. Is it possible that Trump might go about expanding the Supreme Court to ensure a conservative majority well into the future?
He doesn't have to do that. He's got a majority now. He will likely have the ability to appoint at least two more justices during his term, and that would move the conservative majority from five, could move it to six, possibly even seven, depending on the health of Justice Sotomayor. So he doesn't have to expand it. He's going to put in place a conservative court that is indeed going to oversee the lives of Americans for the next generation.
Now, the question of the Republican Party, it seems to be now a party that has been sanitized of the Mitt Romneys and the Liz Cheneys of the world. It's a party fashioned in the mold of Donald Trump. And even people who, like Mitch McConnell, you may have read about him doing a recording for posterity where he criticizes Trump.
Yes,
but then,
yeah,
lo and behold, in public, he welcomes Trump. I mean, he must be one of the most pusillanimous creatures on this earth, the same Mitch McConnell. What of the Republican Party?
It has been and continues the party of Trump, as many pundits say here, finding spine among party members has been a challenge, and it is what we see and seems to be likely to continue that. What will be interesting is, and after their great loss, when they lost the White House, the Senate, and the House, and the party said, we have got to do some soul searching. We have got to figure out how to widen our tent. We've got to get back on the path. And there were people, Paul Ryan, Mitt Romney, others who were talking about trying to redirect the party, even Marco Rubio at the beginning, of making it a more humane party that better reflected American values. And yet, their answer to their great loss was Donald Trump. So it'll be interesting what lessons the Democratic Party takes away, depending on what happens in the House, of course, but still a pasting that was not anticipated. And what lessons do they take away? Is it that they just went a little too far from mainstream American comfort level? Or indeed the way that they fought the campaign, trying to hold on to unity and to bringing Americans together as opposed to trying to divide further and clearly for this round, it didn't work. So does the Democratic Party decide to go lower next time around? This is something we'll have to watch as well.
Gina Abercrombie Winstanley, a US diplomat, thank you very much for joining us on the program.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.